Welcome into the Full Tilt Devi Pod, where we tilt so you don't have to. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A, joined as always by Andy Starr at AstarFF on Twitter. Tonight, as you can see, we have two very special guests. We have Andrew Woodruff, if I can speak, at underscore Devi Scout on Twitter. And then we also have Corey P at FF underscore guitarist. Joining us from campusdecanton.com, and we really appreciate it. We do not have a lot of time, so we're going to dive right into a freshman mock draft that we're doing. We're going to do things slightly different than what you might normally get. A lot of times you get a bunch of people doing a draft. Everyone talks for about an hour and a half in the first round, and then they do a lightning round in the second round. Well, I figured there's been a lot of freshman talk. I've done it on the Devi Devotional. Aaron and I even did it, a little bit of freshman talk here on the Full Tilt Devi Pod a month ago or something like that. So I feel like there's been a decent amount, at least enough for you guys to learn some names, know those top-end guys. I want to get into more of the second-round guys and talk about why those players are hitting, why we want to draft those players. So we're going to speed through the first round, then we're going to give a little more analysis in the second round. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight. Unfortunately, I am under a time constraint, so that's why we're rushing. That's why I'm speaking faster than normal. And unfortunately, it's going to be a quicker pod than normal, but we'll probably have these boys back at some point to talk a little more freshmen, especially after spring practices and transfers and all that kind of stuff. But let's go ahead and get this started out. I'm going to have Andy start us out with the 101 because he probably has done the least amount of freshman research. So I'm going to help him out a little bit. We're going to do Andy 101, Corey 102, Andrew 103, and then myself 104. Andy, go ahead and get us started. And like I said, we're going to run through the first round and then talk a little more during the second round.
Well, I appreciate that because you're absolutely right. I have done the least amount of research for the freshmen. I'm actually looking at my camp and freshman guide right now, courtesy of Corey and his friends over there at C2C. But I think the 101 is relatively obvious this year. Maybe not, but for me, I think it is. And it's wide receiver Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State. Lightning round here, so we'll just say, he's got the top end speed, he's got the size, he's coming in to a program which consistently dumps out wide receiver ones into the NFL, and he's playing for maybe the best wide receiver coach in the country in his name's escaping me right now, but help me out.
Brian Hartline.
Yeah, I was gonna say obviously he's from Ohio State, and I just think of him as a Miami Dolphin, if you guys remember those days. But Brian Hartline, one of the better wide receiver, if not the best wide receiver coach in the NCAA right now. So I'm taking Jeremiah Smith pretty easily here at 101.
All right, Corey, you're up with the 102.
Yeah, I love that pick. That's akin to pretty much, people focusing on this rookie class. That's like grabbing the Marvin Harrison Jr. of this class. You know what I mean? It just feels like a locked up pick. For me, 102 is a hard spot. It's a nice wide receiver draft or a freshman class. But I think the quarterbacks get a little bit thin. So I'm going to go maybe a little bit bold, go with my quarterback one of the class. I'm taking DJ Legway, the Florida quarterback, who I know isn't a lot of people's number one, but I just think there's a little bit more upside there between the rushing threat and the trajectory you've seen from where he started freshman season and kind of grew his potential. You saw growth in the junior season. Then this final season, he just blew up, Gatorade player, national player of the year, like counted for over 5,000 yards, like over 75 touchdowns, like almost 1,000 yards on the ground. Just really amazing. And like, there's a lot of things to work out. There's some technical stuff he's got to work out there. There's some mechanical stuff he's got to work there, but he does a lot of good stuff off script, which a lot of people love to see. And he delivers a lot of NFL passes. Like, I love seeing the velocity, the tight window throws that he throws. I just think he has some of the highest upside in quarterback. I think maybe, the other quarterback we'll probably talk about soon might have the higher floor, but I think Legway might have the higher upside. And I like shooting for upside in Debbie. So DJ Legway here at 102.
Man, you got my stamp of approval on that one.
I wish. I mean, I'm a Gator fan. I hope to God that he actually works because I cannot believe that. Did we talk about that Senior Bowl, yeah, Andrew? Yeah. You, and Corey, both of you.
You let me have him in our last freshman mock. You didn't take him there, yeah.
I'm too scared, man. I can't believe it. But Andrew, you're up at 103.
I mean, man, when you say 103, I was like, this is a gift. It doesn't matter which one I go with. Personally, you know, 103, we're going Ryan Williams. As a sophomore and junior in high school, based off everything I'm looking at, actually outperformed Jeremiah Smith, who was a year older. We know the system he's going into with DeBoer. They're going to love to throw the ball. They'll work with their quarterback issues. We'll figure it out. We'll see how that sets up. I think it's a lot of good potential, but you go with the stud. So 103, Ryan Williams, receiver for Alabama. Easy pick.
It really is. I think that, you know, you got Jeremiah and you got Ryan, and it's just like, I don't really care which one I get. But that brings us to 104, and I'm going to take the number one running back in the class as far as I'm concerned. I'm skipping the quarterback position. I'm skipping the wide receiver position. I'm going to go ahead and take my boy, Taylor Tatum. I know that, you know, some people don't seem to have him as their RB1, but the more research I've done on this class and everything else, it seems like he's really truly in a tier of his own, and so I don't want to miss out on that tier. And not to say that like we draft for need or anything like that, but I'm just saying as far as I'm concerned, there's really a tier of one, maybe two, and I don't want to miss out on at least one of those guys. And so I'm gonna go ahead and take Taylor Tatum here. There's obviously some wide receivers and, you know, maybe even a quarterback, you know, that's available, but I'd much rather have this running back. And just the research that I've done recently is showing that while the running backs in the NFL might not necessarily be the sexiest options, they're the ones with the higher hit rate, at least for these freshman recruits. And you can always trade and do things later on, but get the guy that's actually going to score points and show up and get that value. And then you can go get your quarterbacks and your wide receivers and whatever else you need.
Yeah, no, he's not a tier one running back for me, but I do like him quite a bit. I think he's a very versatile player. I think he can do a lot of things. You know, played the Wildcat quarterback. He's a pretty good receiver. He's a well-rounded player. Like maybe you don't see like the super suddenness from him from a film standpoint. Maybe you don't see like he's got some pretty good long speed. We have him clocked at 21.6 miles per hour at C2C. So he's got some athleticism there. Very well-rounded player. But yeah, for some reason, some people just aren't loving him as much as the recruiting services are.
Absolutely. Like he seems to be a polarizing player, but I'm perfectly fine putting my stamp on him, kind of like you did with DJ there. You know, it's just like, hey, this is my guy and I'm fine with it. But Andy, you're back on the clock at 105.
All right. There's a couple of ways I could go here, but I think the way that this draft has kind of fallen, by the way, I don't hate the Taylor Tatum pick. I think he's definitely my RB1 in the class, and the Oklahoma depth chart, especially at running back, is kind of, you know, could go anyway. He certainly could end up getting the bulk of the carries in year one. But just the way that this draft is going, I think I've been kind of given a gift here with Micah Hudson still being on the board. He is, to me, in that, and to C2C apparently, is still in that top tier of wide receivers. So I'll go ahead and lock him up, foregoing getting a quarterback here, even though there is a couple that I would like in this spot. Micah Hudson, he's going into the Zach Kittley system, which we know did really well back when he was at Western Kentucky. Hasn't worked out as well at Texas Tech, but I think, you know, there's still opportunity for large volume passing offense there. So I'll take Micah Hudson here.
Yeah, and I love that pick. And I mean, I think some of the reasons that we're high on him at C2C as well is because we really believe in that year one zero theory that we promote, and we think he has a good chance of hitting it there. There's not a lot of great options there at Texas Tech right now. Suffered a little bit of an ankle injury. I think he had surgery for it as well, or a knee injury, I believe, just recently. So I'm a little bit apprehensive about that, but he's apparently going to be ready for spring. So still happy to hear about that. At 106 here, I guess I just have to, like, I didn't want to be the guy to take two quarterbacks, but I feel like it's got to be the value play here, taking the other top quarterback in this class, who some people have as the quarterback one. I guess I'm going to go ahead and take Dylan Raiola, going over to Nebraska, formerly of Georgia, formerly of Ohio State. He's been all over the place. That's probably one of the parts of the profile I don't like so much. Even in high school, he jumped around a lot. Sometimes you don't like seeing a lot of that indecision, like kind of like the Zach Evans thing sometimes, you know, and when he hopped around so many players, and that was maybe something we should have paid more attention to. But regardless, I'm forgetting that for now. Probably the best arm talent in the class, can make every throw you want to see. What separates him from Legway from me is just like, he's just a deep bomber, man. He loves hitting those deep passes all the time, and he puts nice passes on it, but it was some of those tight window throws that I saw with Legway that I didn't necessarily see on tape with Raiola as much. And again, moving schools constantly. Senior, he played for a different school than he played in his junior year. There's chemistry, things you got to build, ways you got to see how your players are going to react, stuff like that. So that could probably be a part of his profile as well, but still, probably the highest or the best arm talent in the class, is going to start year one probably for Nebraska, and probably the better floor play of the quarterbacks here you can take within like the top five or six picks.
I honestly didn't know that about him, you know, that he had changed schools that much. That is a little scary.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a little bit of indecision there, yeah.
Yeah, I got some stories I could say about that one. Another time.
I know you're some inside scoop here.
Oh, yeah, in-person inside scoops. But let's say that for later, see if we can get to that later. Well, that puts me at 107. Based off how the way the board's falling, and again, just being a Debbie draft, I don't care to reach for quarterbacks early because we've seen those just not pan out a ton. And for the other situations that we have presented to us, it doesn't feel comfortable going that route. And so for me, I'm going to switch over. I'm going to go with the strength of this class. And so I'm actually going to go with an Auburn receiver, but maybe not the one John likes, Perry Thompson.
Oh, I love it.
He grades out a lot higher on a model. And again, we're talking about year one zero theories carry over, not only for C2C purposes, but for Devy, you like seeing those guys gain value. Auburn's a wide open core out there. So, I mean, I know he's not in right now in the spring, but he should come in running really fast in the summer, catch up, and have a chance to start producing for us this year.
I noticed you dropped it for us there. Are you an Auburn fan?
No. SEC. Gotcha. Don't worry. I will not be taking anybody from my personal college, Mississippi State.
Gotcha. Yeah,
be touching that. Yeah. Why not?
I will just say I love the pick, though, with Perry Thompson. He graded it higher for me as well when I first – I've come up on Cam Coleman, I have, but I thought there was a little bit more versatility there with Perry Thompson compared to Cam Coleman.
I mean, like you said, Perry Thompson's not there right now. That doesn't, you know, it's not a death knell or anything like that. But you know, Cam Coleman has been getting, you know, rave reviews. That's the only thing that I would say against the pick. But honestly, I like both players. I mean, it's not like I like Cam Coleman more, but that doesn't mean that I dislike Perry Thompson. I don't hate the pick there. And that's going to bring me up. I'm going to take another wide receiver here. I'm going to take TJ Moore out of Clemson. You know, the only thing that I'm really concerned about, obviously, is who's throwing him the ball. You know, but you know, we already talked about Micah Hudson and how, you know, sometimes you just have to say, hey, they're going to be on the field, they're going to break that year 1-0, and they're going to look studly doing it. TJ Moore's also a Tampa boy, so you know, I got to love him a little bit more because of that. You know, coming from the hometown. But, you know, he really has a little bit of everything that we're looking for with, like, size, speed, athleticism, everything. And, you know, I don't know who's going to hold him back from being the wide receiver one on Clemson. You know, the question, like I said, is just going to be who's going to throw him the ball. And, you know, but when it's all said and done, if he can get us 600-800 yards, whatever, then I don't think it's really going to be the end of the world. And, you know, we'll hope for better quarterback days at some point. Andy's speechless. He doesn't know who to take now.
I was like, okay, well, I mean, as long as nobody has anything to say there, I mean, I will go quarterback. I'm going back to the Ohio State well, even though quarterbacks there haven't really panned out as of late like they have been. I mean, obviously you have CJ Stroud, who's doing phenomenal things in the NFL right now, but the last few guys that they've recruited, with Devin Brown, he might be a guy that's on the transfer portal block here in a week or so when that window opens back up. You've obviously got Kyle McCord, who's now at Syracuse. They had to bring in Will Howard from Kansas State. Everyone presumes that he's going to be the starter now. So, and then even this year, they've got Julian Sain and the other guy who probably will get drafted here, so I'll leave his name out of it, but we all know who we're talking about. So there's a lot of ambiguity in this Ohio State quarterback room right now. But I just think Julian Sain, you know, being a five-star quarterback, you know, recruited personally by Nick Saban, there's a lot of things to like about him. So I will bet on the talent here towards – and MVP of the Elite 11, if that means anything to anybody. I'll bet on the talent here towards the end of the first round and take a quarterback who I think has insulated value for at least a year. And I think, you know, with that type of insulation for the value. You can take a risk here towards the end of the first round.
So it's almost getting to the point of like Alabama and Ohio State were doing so well where every year it was like, oh, you're just going to get another quarterback. And then they just completely both fell off a cliff where it's like now like you don't want any of them. And that's kind of where we're at with Ohio State. It's just like, yeah, Julian Sain is a quality prospect and, you know, you would love to have him normally, but like, A, when is he going to see the field? They're are obviously showing us that they're willing to just go in the transfer portal and get whoever they feel like getting and all that. But hopefully they're just going to give him his time and he can kind of break that mold that we're seeing at least a little more recently for Ohio State. But that brings us up to 110 with Corey.
Yeah, 110 here. Man, a lot of good options here still. Thinking about that other Auburn wide receiver we were talking about, but since we kind of talked about him already, I will go somewhere else where the guy's probably just as high as me and a completely different player, really. And I'm talking about Miami wide receiver Josiah the Trader, who played in high school with Jeremiah Smith as well and maybe overshadowed a little bit by Jeremiah Smith, but also some injuries of his own, which kind of made him a little bit of a hidden gem in this class, in my opinion, when looking at him. And he's just a very different player. Like, he is a excellent mover, very fluid mover, like in and out of his breaks, crisp gearing down, how quick he can gear down, the acceleration, the smoothness of everything he can do, playing inside, playing outside. Like, he really feels like a complete, like, I don't know, even maybe like a Malik Nabers type, where he can do a little bit of everything on your field. Maybe he's not as elite above the rim. Maybe he doesn't have as much skill as like the other Auburn wide receiver at catching and being more aggressive against more physical defensive backs. But he's just such a crisp route runner that I feel like he's going to find a way to get on the field early. And we're already hearing from Miami that he's having great reports coming into spring camp, that he's already pushing as a potential guy in rotation for that number three wide receiver job. So, I mean, he could see a lot more time. Cam Ward's already talking about him. Everybody's talking about this kid. I just think that this guy is going to get on the field early, break some of those year one, zero thresholds, and be valued a lot higher than maybe even here by this time next year.
Yeah, I like that call. He was actually a player that moved up substantially for me. Like I said, I kind of made some tweaks recently, and he moved up quite a bit for me. So I like that call a lot. Andrew, you're up at 111.
Yeah, so that's definitely starting to fall to that tier break for me. It's like, okay, how much faith do you really have in these players at this point, especially from a Devy mindset? But kind of just going with the system and what I see. To me, the next pick, personally, it's not everybody's number two running back by any means, but I'm leaning James Peoples. He's a bigger running back. When I say bigger, I mean like 200 pounds, but so kind of close to that size. Everybody talks about wanting for an NFL purpose running back. He goes to Ohio State. Yeah, we're not really expecting a lot this year. You know, you got Judkins, you got Travion right there. But after that, really, I mean, it's him and what, Hayden? Yeah. I think it's currently the only major guys left. And this dude, I mean, he produced a ton in high school, grades out super well. There's not really a lot of flaws I see right there. So just banking on that, we know there's a system in place that's put out guys before. Plus, you know, going with an Ohio State person, normally somebody, if you don't like them year one, year two, you can still find a bell and recoup some value if not.
We just have to battle in Debbie sometimes, just recouping that value. Play the value game, you know what I mean? Hey, is this guy going to hold his value to next year? That's all I care about sometimes, you know. But I love I like the people's pick. He's not as high as he is for you at here, but I like some of the things that, like, I love his ability in between the tackles. He's one of the more determined runners in between the tackles. A lot of these guys in high school, they love to try to just bounce outside, continue working outside. That was one thing I thought James Peoples did really well, was staying in line in between tackles. We've got him clocked at over 21 miles per hour. Yeah, just a good-looking prospect for sure.
Yeah, not a complete zero in the receiving game. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not the greatest running back class, or at least they're not all going to spots that are just wide open that we can just say, oh, yeah, they're going to touch the field year one and do whatever. But I'm actually going to do the same exact thing. I'm going to go with a proven team, a proven, proven-ish player, and I'm going to go with Quentin Martin here going to Penn State. You know, the chances of him actually – you know, hitting in year one, not the greatest, but you know, with running backs, it's a little different. But you know, we're assuming or hoping that Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are going to be going off to the NFL next year. And then who's going to be there? It's going to be Quentin Martin. And, you know, we got he's seven. He's 6'2". I was looking, I do everything in inches. So he's 74 inches. I'm trying to convert and I did a poor job of that. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, going to Penn State, which is, you know, proven to put out high quality running back talent. Yes, technically he's a little buried, if you will, but like I said, moving into next year, even if worst case scenario, one of Catron Allen or Nick Singleton decides to stay, okay, so we're splitting the backfield. Like, I'm really not all that concerned with it, but, you know, a high end, you know, 4-star prospect, nothing to truly hate in his profile. And there's, you know, like I said, it's not the greatest running back class, and he's my clear RB2 in the class. So I wanted to go ahead and get him. I got my two RBs, and, you know, it's funny how, once again, you know, the NFL is not really coveting these players, but yet I'm sitting here going, no, give me all of them.
I think that's a good pick. Like you said, Penn State, he's going to be behind some guys potentially for the first year, but, you know, neither of them. Catron Allen and Nick Singleton kind of took a step back last year, so I think there is room for somebody else to take a step forward. I know we don't like to hear that as Debbie players, because we all liked both of those guys, but it certainly wasn't a perfect backfield last year, so there is some room for improvement there. I'm going to take a similar approach too and grab a running back from a big time school who's got some ambiguity in the depth chart right now, especially after they've lost some players to the NFL, and that's Michigan running back Jordan Marshall. And the reason I'm going that way is because of their new coach Sherrone Moore, who has shown that he does prefer to run the ball, at least with the team he had last year, right? When he played Penn State, you know, he took the ball completely out of JJ McCarthy's hands in the second half. So I think they're going to keep up that running offense. I think Jordan Marshall ends up being profiling more as more of a bruiser than Donovan Edwards does. So I think there's a good chance that he gets some between the tackles work this year, which you obviously love to see as a true freshman. He's got the size at 200 pounds. He's already as big as Blake Corum. He, you know, we expect him to pack on 10 to 15 more pounds too. So to kick off the second round, I will take Jordan Marshall.
Yeah, no, I like the two running back picks there back to back. I will say Quentin Martin, your pick there, John. He's actually in contention for my running back one. I just think he's incredibly versatile, man. Like, I actually don't think that if it doesn't work at running back for him, I think there's a legitimate option for him to be a wide receiver. The growth that I saw in the senior tape being a wide receiver, the deception in his routes, the stuff he was doing, and the variety of routes he was running, I'm like, man, there might be a path here. If it doesn't work at running back, he could even be a wide receiver. Let's just hope that it's not like a Jordan Whittington thing. For anybody who knows Jordan Whittington from back in the day, it didn't exactly work out to be the running back.
You don't want that 5-star athlete, you know?
who's iffy in between places, right? But yeah, Jordan Marshall, another great pick and a great team there to go to as well. You know, the one thing about his tape that I didn't love is a lot of gaping holes in his tape sometimes. So you kind of wonder sometimes how you're going to translate that. But I mean, playing behind Michigan line, you're probably going to see those gaping holes again at the next level as well. So love those two back to back here. I got to keep it going. We're going to keep the running back run going. Okay. Andrew, I don't know if I'm taking your guy. I don't know.
Andrew's pissed, man.
He's getting upset at every running back pick that we do here. But I'm going to go with somebody who's been moving up for me steadily throughout the offseason too. I'm going with Florida State running back Cameron Davis. This guy, I was low on him a little bit before because I worry about these wildcat quarterbacks. And that's really what he played a lot in high school, translating to a more like refined role. Once you get to the next level, like learning the nuances, running it from an I formation, running it from a single back, running from a pistol. You run so much just on instincts as a quarterback. You see a play open, you see a hole open, you're going to run to it. So some of that part worries me about his profile, but he's probably the most well put together runner, in my opinion, in this draft class, between like the agility, between like the instincts, like finding cutback lanes that like people wouldn't really see, like eyes in the back of the head type stuff, you know, and speed, and then clocking in already at 220 pounds. He measured in at Florida State already for this. So up 10 pounds from his recruiting weight and clocked it over 21 miles per hour as well. He just has every tool you want. And sometimes when you're looking at freshman running backs, that's really all you want to bet on. And there's opportunity there at Florida State as well. It's kind of, Toefilia is still there and they have some other guys there as well, but there's opportunity there for somebody to make an impact. So Cameron Davis has been a steady rise for me, probably my running back 2 or 3 in the class right now.
Are you worried at all about him? You know, he played quarterback in high school. You know, you worried about that transition because we haven't always seen that work out, you know, even though, you know, it can obviously with running back, it's probably a lot easier than like going from quarterback to wide receiver or whatever.
I am absolutely. He was actually in my tier two originally for running backs, like just in running back tiers because of that concern. But I've slowly started to convince myself that it's like you just got to bet on the talent sometimes and what these guys can do. And I still think he's probably at least the most well put together runner, I think, in this draft class right now.
And he was my next pick. So I wasn't like arguing with you or saying it was a bad pick. I was just asking the question because, I mean, you get a little concerned about that. You know, it's like, oh, Roshan Johnson and, you know, players like that. And it's like, they don't ever seem to truly work out, but
Cam
I guess
Akers.
With Roshan and with Cam Akers, like with players like that, you can say, at least with Roshan, he was trying to still be a quarterback when he went to college, you know, like at least with Cam here, you're saying, nah, he's like, nah, dude, I'm just going to be a running back.
Yeah. He knows his strengths.
Well, so you got to play what you can do. So definitely, I think he's making the right move when it comes to that. Oh, yeah, no, I was just surprised by the running back run. We talk about not a great running back class and what, first 14 picks? That's
I just had to continue it. I honestly, I might have gone somewhere else with that pick, but I was just like, I'm just going to go and grab my guy here before we get too far down the line here. But there's some great value here for wide receiver for you.
There is. I mean, that's what I'm sitting here. I'm trying to debate between right now. And I was leaning one way, but I started thinking about, again, year one, zero theory. This guy's probably going to be a little bit buried, so I think I can get him maybe in a couple picks from now if I'm lucky. And so I thought about, you know, when it comes to receivers, you're looking for that open spot. You're looking for ways to get attention to it. And what's the best way to get attention in the college space right now than go to Colorado, right? We know they were constantly – Draylen Miller, receiver going to Colorado, four-star receiver, graded really highly in the system's composite system. Good size, almost 6 foot, supposedly, 5'11", we'll see. 205, so I mean, he's got the size frame. He produced really well when he came to high school. Seems to move, sets up. And, I mean, be honest with you, I know he's probably not graded as high, but he did sit there and end up settling tied for eighth in my model, around some very convincing people historically.
Yeah, in the C2C guide, they comp this guy to Jarvis Landry, who I actually thought was kind of a good comparison for him. Like, he almost becomes a running back with the ball in his hands. He really does. Like, and it's a lot of his stuff is kind of manufactured. There's a lot of screens there. There's a lot of short stuff and stuff like that. But he's just like one of these menaces in the ball, a Malachi Corley type, if you will. Somebody like that that could eventually excel and has that kind of build that can excel with that. So it's a spicy pick, I think, but I like the call here.
It makes me think of Jerrion Dickey, like how everyone felt about him last year. And, you know, like it was everyone's like, I remember in one of my C2C supplemental drafts, everyone was like clamoring to trade up for this one pick. So, cause it was like, nope, he's the end of the tier. Got to get Jerrion Dickey. And, and that's kind of how it feels. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, we've talked about it on different pods and everything, but everyone wants the next Debo Samuel. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work out. So we have to stop doing this. But to Andrew's credit, like if you want eyes, Colorado's going to have eyes. And, you know, like as far as, you know, value, sometimes it doesn't matter if they're actually good. A la Shedeur Sanders, when you get enough people talking about him, it doesn't really matter. Even Travis Hunter, for that matter, like he's just not nearly as good as people act like he is, but you'd swear that he's the number one wide receiver in the class because, you know, he's just, oh, he's Colorado and he's just that good. He plays two ways, guys. Did you know that? You know, but
he snaps on the field, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He tore something and he was back in three games. You know, he's just amazing. But that's how I feel. I feel like it's more of a value play, but I don't mind it. You know, like, especially in the second round, you know, value plays work out. But as far as like actually believing in the player, I can't say that I actually do believe in the player.
Hey, I got no complaints on it.
All right. So I guess that brings me up. And so I have a tough decision here. So I'm going to eat some crow on this one because I was on here with Aaron Wilcox and we talked about the rookies or the freshmen, I'm sorry. And then we went and did Corey and a couple other guys came on to the Devi devotional and we did a Devi freshman mock just like we're doing right here. And I shat all over David Ezeumame. And I just said I wanted nothing to do with them. And then I redid some stuff. You know, like I'm new to the freshman game and it's not even necessarily that he nothing changed for him or anything like that, but just some of the criteria I was looking at or, you know, like the thresholds I was looking for changed. And next thing you know, it's like he's going to a quality school that puts out, you know, quality NFL talent in Clemson. Maybe not, you know, the best running back talent besides obviously Travis Etienne and, you know, most recently. But more importantly, I mean, that dude is fast. I think he runs like a 10.800, you know, like he has some speed and he has the size. He's 6'1", 205 pounds, you know, going to Clemson, like I said, just kind of hitting every threshold that I want. And so, like I said, I'm going to eat some crow because I was wrong, but I admitted that I was new to the freshman game. And hey, I'm admitting I was wrong and I'm changing my opinion. So here we are. I'm drafting David Ezeumame at 204 in the draft.
Now, he's been a guy that C2C, you know, we have pretty high up there, especially from our recruiting team right now. And I mean, a lot of what you said really comes together for him. I mean, he, as a pure runner, like just a rusher, I love his game. I thought he had some of the best tape, like just well put together, nuanced plays that he does. Like, you know, the patience we saw allowing his blocks to set up, being an interior runner, the footwork, the cutting ability. I mean, the burst you were talking about, the finishing gear to finish those home run plays, like even a little bit of play strength. That's what I'm bouncing off some guys. Like there was a very well put together runner there. And I'll go into Clemson where there's some solid opportunity there. Where, I mean, we're talking about what Phil Moffa's in his way right now. They like to use two running backs sometimes. He could find his way on the field somehow. Like who really knows? But he's a really nice gem in this class because the recruiting services aren't giving him the same kind of credit that a lot of people in the Devi space and the C2C space have started to give him. So I mean, this is a rare gem right now. If you're playing with guys who really follow those recruiting rankings and that's how you're seeing them just go off those recruiting rankings, this is a guy you can maybe pluck a little bit later than this and get some good value for it.
Yeah, you know, if you're following Campus to Canton and their mock drafts and stuff, you're not going to get him cheap. He's going to go around this range. But in your drafts at home, you know, you probably can get him later than this. But honestly, like I said, I'm not even doing this because I was wrong on him or whatever. Like, this is where I have him in my ranks. Like, he was the next player in my ranks. So it's just like it adds up. You got athleticism, you got size, and you have a quality school, and you have opportunity. Like, there's not too much to dislike about him. The only thing I will say, that what I said the last time when I disliked him was I watched like two games of film on him. And I mean, it was just highlights. I don't actually watch film. I'm not a film grinder, but it was just highlights. But I swear that dude runs like he has a stick up his butt, man. Like he runs so upright. That's the only thing I will say is I do not like it, but he runs so freaking upright. And you know, I don't know. I'm not, once again, not a film grinder. So I don't know how much that actually hurts or affects a running back, but I know, you know, it's not necessarily something that we want them to do.
No, we definitely want to see that pad level come down a little bit. And I will say, you know, there was even last year some instances he started slow. So even depending on where you watched your tape or what games you watched, like it was a slow start, but he really finished the season strong. Some people saying there was an injury issue there or something like that. We're not really sure at this point if there was something he was dealing with. But yeah, the uprightness that he runs with. And again, see, you're talking about 6'1", 6 foot. He is a little bit of a taller running back. Sometimes those guys got to learn to lower their pad a little bit. Hopefully getting to the next level, getting a little bit better coached up at a more professional level, at least will help him correct some of those issues.
Yeah, that's a good point with the height. You know, those tall boys like to stand up tall and then try to lower at the last second and run somebody over.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, it helps having the confidence being the best player on the field for most games.
Yeah.
Probably going to realize real quickly, Clemson, hey, I can't quite be that dude yet.
Exactly.
That's very true. All right, Andy, you're up.
But I think that's a good strategy, you know, just taking a player – who's going to a program with a proven track record, you know, at this point in the draft in a freshman draft, and who has an opportunity to fulfill a role that is now from a player who's vacated and gone to the NFL, in this case, Will Shipley. So there's an opportunity to be had in a big time program. So I like the pick here in the second round. I'm going to do something similar, not quite the same, different position. but it's Tennessee wide receiver Mike Matthews. I think he's going into a big offense. You know, we expect a lot of passing from the Tennessee offense, a lot of points scored. Also, just looking at the wide receiver production from that team last year, you know, you had Squirrel White around 800 yards. Ramel Keaton was at 600 yards. There wasn't really anyone that stood out as like a wide receiver one. So I think there is room for a guy to fulfill that role in this offense, kind of like what they had a couple seasons ago. So I'm going to take Mike Matthews. I know he's getting drafted a lot higher than what we've taken him right now, according to this Campus to Canton guide. He's hitting all the thresholds I like to see. He's got the top end speed. He's got the size. He's going to a big program. So I'm excited about it. I think if you're going to take a wide receiver in the second round, this is definitely a guy that I feel comfortable taking a risk on.
Yeah, and when it comes to like that Tennessee offense, one of the things that we've talked about with him is like we really hope that he can somehow get in the slot. I mean, they love to put pepper targets to that slot, guys with like Squirrel White, guys like Jalen Hyde in the past. Like, and he probably profiles the best. I mean, they love their towering outside guys. I mean, Brew McCoy is still there. He's probably going to be one of the outside guys. Not really sure who the second guy is going to be right now, but there's a couple options there. Mike Matthews is going to have to contend kind of with Squirrel White to get there. And I don't think Squirrel White's coming off the field, so I'm a little bit worried about year one zero thresholds with him. But I mean, still, maybe he can find a way to work into they love to rotate their wide receivers. They play in a lot of four wide receiver sets as well. He could find a way to get on the field. And he's got some of the best speed in this class as well, like one of the best athletes. So there could be a role for him definitely going to Tennessee with that type of offense they have over there.
Yeah, I was going to say with, you know, to be fair to Squirrel White, he had Joe Milton throwing it to him last year. And
heck happened. I honestly thought Joe Milton's arm would line up good with Squirrel White. It was like the complete opposite.
Yeah, honestly, the person sitting in the front row at Tennessee in the stadium probably has a better chance of being the wide receiver one with Joe Milton throwing it to him than Squirrel White does. But that guy is not accurate. Hopefully Nico I will be slightly more accurate and we can see that. But yeah, I like the call. You know, just because Tennessee hasn't really pumped out wide receivers that we love, you know, I have dropped him a little bit, but I was extremely high on Mike Matthews earlier on, and I'm still, you know, pretty high. So I really have no issues with them here. Well, like I said, we're hoping for better or more quality play out of Nico I, and that should give us, you know, quality play for Squirrel White and even Mike Matthews. I'm hoping they can both be on the field at the same time. Yeah. I know Corey's kind of saying that maybe they play the same game. I mean, obviously Mike Matthews has that build to be an outside receiver. So, you know, I kind of feel like he's going to be on the outside, but I, you know, who really knows? Like, I'm not trying to act like I know what these offensive coordinators or coaches are going to do.
Yeah. And he was a 50-50 player in high school pretty much. So, I mean, he definitely has the option and has some experience at either. So he definitely could, but, I guess I'm up here at 206. And I guess I got to go with the guy that we're starting to disrespect here. I mean, I gave you a little bit of crap for taking him so early in our last Devy mock, but I got to take Cam Coleman here from Auburn. I have to. I mean, he's probably, for all of his flaws, I mean, there's some things there where I don't feel like he has great release moves off the line. I don't feel like he has a great route tree, but what he does do is the one trait that can get him on the field, especially in college right now, and that's winning above the rim. He's probably the best player in this draft class at winning above the rim, between body contortion, between attacking the ball, elevation, the timing of his elevation, when to get up, when to grab that ball. He's probably the best in the class at that. Similar to, like, you know, if we're going to relate to everybody's talking about the rookie class right now, similar to like Romo Odunze. I don't think Romo Odunze is a perfect prospect in all the areas of his game, but he has that. And that's going to get him into the NFL and maybe into a starting role on day one as well, while you figure out the other stuff and learn the other stuff on the job. That's something that Cam Coleman can do right now, especially against these college defensive backs. So I'm feeling pretty good about his chances to beat year 1-0. I'm just worried he's more of like a Mike Williams type at the next level, who's going to excel more like that. I mean, he's also credited with some pretty good athleticism times. I don't have them in front of me here. I can't remember, but I know he's like a very high percentile athlete in C2C's grading as well. And I don't know if I necessarily saw that speed on tape all the time, but still, that's why I feel like he's more of like that Mike Williams player, kind of like a slightly above average athleticism, but above the rim skills, just like a great best in this class for sure. So Cam Coleman here at 206 for me.
Yeah, I know the NFL is getting away from the possession receivers and, you know, like those guys, but I feel like they're still allowing the higher end guys, you know, that do that to be there. And I feel like Cam Coleman can be that. So, you know, like I'm not banking on it. I'm not saying he's guaranteed stud or anything like that, but especially he's getting a lot of praise in these spring practices and everything, saying he just looks different. And, you know, like size is different. And, you know, like the defense is struggling to cover him, all that kind of stuff, stuff that you're going to hear, but it's stuff that you want to hear as well, you know, and we already said Perry Thompson's not there right now, so he kind of has a leg up, you know, a la last year with Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis. Everyone loved Brandon Ennis, but yet Carnell Tate was the first one to step on the field, the first one to get his stripes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And next thing you know, he was the one on the field. You know, not to say that it was just because of that reason. I mean, he plays a different role than Brandon Ennis, so you know, we don't know what would have or could have happened, but you know, I'm kind of wondering if, you know, it's the same thing. It's just like you get on the field, you flash, and the coach was like, oh, we got to have this guy on the field all the time. Not that he wouldn't have been on the field anyway, because I mean, I don't know, do they even have another X, like a true X on their roster right now?
Some people I can't remember who their guy is. Camden Brown, that my co-host over there loves. he would tell you that he's the guy we got to watch out for. Mike's misfits over there. But yeah, and I do believe there's a world where Perry Thompson and Cam Coleman can exist together, because Cam Coleman is really that above the rim player, prototypical X, you throw him on the outside. I think Perry's got like a little bit more. In his senior season, he showed a little bit more yak ability, a little bit more versatility, some of the things he could do, rushing the ball from a wildcat quarterback position as well. So I feel like he can be used in some other ways. Maybe you throw him in the slot, you throw him as a flanker, and Cam Coleman, you just position him on the outside. And hopefully this is the Auburn offense we're looking at for the next couple of years. Hopefully they get a quarterback in there as well, though.
not a fan of their quarterback recruit, I hear. That's all right. I'm not going to be taking them, but I might just ruin John's podcast anyway, because I'm going to take the one position everybody says not to take.
Oh, no.
To freshmen. Yep. Yeah. We're all talking about tight ends here. But I got to talk about it, because I've built this model. I put it out on Twitter recently, or X, about just how it looked. And I mean, the final results are fantastic, but even as freshmen, out of 275 tight ends I went through, I only had eight score above 90%. That's Brock Bowers, Mark Andrews, Pierce Sperling, which unfortunately we're never going to find out how that story gets played out, Eric Gilbert, Sam Laporta, TJ Hawkinson. So it didn't matter recruit status, because if anybody remembers Iowa tight ends right there, both 3-stars. So like it's noticing the right things. And so I plugged in this year's class, and there's one dude who actually slightly graded above both of those Iowa tight ends, and that's Christian Benteker, I believe is how you say his name, going to Clemson. Just absolute phenomenal. Averaged over 100 yards receiving past 2 years. So, I mean, if that's what you're looking for in fantasy purposes, is guys who know how to use their skill sets, get on the field, and just be fantasy relevant, I mean, it's phenomenal what we're seeing. And part of the model actually even goes in and just looks how many fantasy points you're getting per game. The dude absolutely crushed everybody else. I mean, TJ Hawkinson is at the top, over 30 points per game. Christian Benteker is right behind him. And then Mark Andrews is right below them too. If there's only one tight end I get to pick all year, I'm okay picking him. And here's the great thing. You go into any draft out there, you don't got to use, 206, 207 to get them. Nobody's touching tight ends.
Yeah.
Go use your 4th, 5th, 6th round pick. Go grab the best tight end prospect I've seen in a long time compared to historic records. Well, even if he sits a year, there's a good chance that he ends up developing and being something that we're talking about in a couple of years.
And we've got a guy here too as well who everybody loves to see that basketball background for some of these. He was a great basketball player in high school as well. Like, I think, what was the stat? Hold on, let me look it up here. Caught 200 passes in football and scored 2,000 points in basketball as well during his high school career. So, I mean, you always hear, I mean, they can't stop bringing it up whenever they talk about Tony Gonzalez or Jimmy Graham or whatever. That could be his story too. They're always going to bring it up as the former basketball player. So, I know another player, great above the rim, good athletic testing. Like, if you're going to bet on somebody, yeah, I mean, it probably won't be me. I'm not much of a tight end guy, if you ever listen to the stuff that I talk about. But, hey, you gotta trust your analysis, trust your model. So, I like that you're putting that out there at least.
Yeah, it's not the greatest to grab the tight ends, but I guess if you feel that strongly about one, just go get them, you know, and that's fine. But yeah, generally speaking, in the research that I've done, tight ends had at like a 9% hit rate, you know, right. For even the 5-star tight ends had at a 9% hit rate. So it's not great, but you know, if you feel like he's just that next Brock Bowers, that next high level guy, then I definitely can't hate on it by any means.
Not many of those past tight ends graded that highly. So I've got to take note of it. And like y'all said, nobody's touching them this early. I just got to plug it in because I mean, it stands out compared to the other positions.
Hey, we're getting our guys tonight. That you know, that's what we're supposed to do, so that we can show people, hey, there's a reason I like this player. You don't necessarily have to draft him here, but I really do like this player. And you know, that's kind of what I did with Taylor Tatum. Like, he's not going at 104. You know, like that's not the norm. But I don't care. Like, I'd be perfectly fine taking him there. But I also understand that I don't have to, and I'd be willing to trade back or do whatever. And that's where, you know, just. It's important to know that kind of stuff. And so hopefully we're, you know, conveying that well. But I'm actually going to go, I'm going to switch it up. I've been taking too many running backs here. I actually thought about taking another running back. And I was like, no, that's crazy. So I'm going to, at 208, and unfortunately I have about like 12 minutes left here. So we're going to have to go a little quicker here to finish up the round. But at 208, I'm going to go ahead and take Mylon Graham out of Ohio State. Ah, sorry, Corey. I gotcha. And you know, like I said, I wanted to switch it up, get back to the wide receiver position because I mean, he's a high end, he's a 5-star prospect in the composite. You know, he's being comped to CeeDee Lamb, and obviously he's going to wide receiver U right now. Now we've also seen so many wide receivers. Like, I feel like people just say, oh, this guy went to Ohio State and he's going to be a stud, but they don't remember that like 85 other 5-star prospects went there and all sucked, you know, or never saw the field and had to transfer out and all that kind of stuff. So there is a little risk of, you know, which is why I'm not taking him earlier on. I'm taking him at 208 because I like Mylon Graham. I love like the route running savant, like, you know, the quick twitchy guy that like, that's my guy, that CeeDee Lamb, that Amari Cooper, like that kind of player that can get in and out and just DBs cannot keep up with them. I love that kind of player. The question is he going to see the field? Is he going to break that year 1-0, all that kind of stuff? And those are the concerns with a guy like Mylon Graham being buried on the depth chart at Ohio State. But I do believe in the talent. I mean, obviously, you know, 247 and the composite believes in the talent as well. And then Ohio State has proven that when they hit really damn well. So at the end of the second round here, I'm taking my shot. Yeah, it definitely could end up being absolutely nothing, but he could end up being a Garrett Wilson, you know, Chris Olave, somebody to that effect. And that's what I'm shooting for when it's all said and done.
No, yeah, I definitely wanted that player, so he definitely sniped that one from me. You know what? I'm not as high as some other guys on him. You know, there is some stuff like, you know, mainly slot player, a down season in senior year, but he was battling a little bit of an injury as well. But he packed on some weight, and I'm wondering if like that maybe lost some explosiveness there. But yeah, very good player, very very good player. I think he's a very offensive friendly player.
Absolutely. Well, Andy, you're up.
I know I'm at a bit of a loss here. I feel like I don't want to take this player because of the year 1-0 theory that we're all well aware of by this point in time. But I just am enamored by the size and speed of Ryan Wingo that mm-hmm. I have to go ahead and take the pick, even though I don't think that there's a very good chance he sees the field this year for Texas with all the talent they've brought in at that position group. Maybe, like I said, I don't know if they can use him in some certain packages or in special teams or something that he can hit one of those thresholds. But when he's running 10-5, 100 meters as a freshman in high school at 210 pounds, it's just one of those things where, you know, I got to take note of that and just, you know, bet on the athlete. I know there's concerns about him running limited route tree. It's kind of one trick pony, but I like the guy. I'm going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, you never know. Could be Arch Manning's next wide receiver one in the coming years, right? I mean, there are some people who beat the year 1-0 threshold, and I am worried about Wingo's case for beating that. I mean, sometimes with Texas, you might get some blowouts along the way. Maybe he can slip in that way. You only need one big play to even beat some of these thresholds, right? One or two big plays, and you can beat some of those thresholds. So that's really what we'd be hoping for. At 210, I'll go with a little bit of a my guy, I guess I'll say, just because it's going to be my last pick of this draft. So I'm going with another place. I'm kind of worried about the year 1-0 threshold as well. But a player I just fell in love with on tape, that's Jeremiah McClellan going over to Oregon. He's a top 10 wide receiver for me, probably not a top 10 wide receiver for a lot of other people, but just a very versatile player. Like over the last 2 years, accounted for 750 rushing yards, 1,900 receiving yards, and 41 touchdowns during that span. 24 total touchdowns in his senior season alone. And that was even battling a foot injury that he had as well. So, I mean, like a very smooth athlete, very efficient with his footwork. The one thing that he doesn't have is burning speed. And that's going to be like his downfall a little bit. But I feel like he kind of makes up for it with a really good short area quickness. You even see it on tape, him in his double moves, the way he works the top of the stems of his routes, the way he can kind of get DBs off on their back hips and out of position a little bit like that. Like, so there's some very refined things that Jeremiah McClellan does to his game. Plus, he has all the other aspects, you know, playing the Wildcat quarterback, being a little bit of a rushing threat as well, being able to do a lot of things with the ball in his hand. So, a little bit worried there at Oregon. We saw what Jerrion Dickey last year. Didn't really get on the field as an even better prospect than Jeremiah McClellan is. So I'm definitely worried about that aspect of it. But this is a guy that I'm really enamored with a little bit. I'm hoping he can find his way on the field.
Yeah, I think that's really what you have to be concerned about is can he get on the field?
Yeah.
You know, he has some exciting traits and everything, you know, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just I never drafted Jerrion Dickey, but I know how many people were in, like 100% in on him and like, oh my God, he's a stud. He's going to be this and that. And he just never showed up. Completely different players. So, you know, it's not even truly fair to comp them, but, you know, it is a little scary in the back of your mind. Kind of like what we were just talking about with Mylon Graham and Ohio State. It's like, you know, you just have to be scared that you're like, can he surpass some of these stud players that are already there? Who you got, Andrew?
Well, so wasn't Dickey also hurt last year, though?
Yeah, he was hurt. And he was a pretty raw type receiver, you know, like one of those guys who mainly won on athleticism and stuff. Kind of a little bit of a learning curve there for a guy like Dickey.
Oh, yeah, of course. So also, I don't want to completely write him off, but yeah, I definitely get that concern. So I understand that. So for me, my last pick, I'm actually going to end up going with my second highest graded running back, Daniel Heal, going to Alabama. Ended up over 2,000 yards rushing and then 1,000 yards rushing in both his past two seasons. It's not a complete zero in the receiving game. He does show a little bit of effort there. I'm not going to say super explosive, but enough that, hey, it can be usable at the next level. And, I mean, again, it's a new coach. There's no commitment to any certain running back. They've already said right now they're rotating Justice Haynes and Jam Miller at the top two. But, again, with the way this system might be set up, there's potential that he could get worked in either next year or possibly a little bit even this year with some of these games possibly end up in blowouts. So just got to trust the process. Going to end up sticking with it.
Yeah, I like it. You know, you can't go wrong with the running backs here. You know, I think that, you know, while it's not the sexiest class as far as the top end talent, we don't have that Cedric Baxter, Justice Haynes, or you know, whoever else. It's not a bad class as far as depth and things like that. And there's some guys that are landing in some pretty, you know, decent spots. So I definitely don't mind the pick there.
The big kid too. Nice big kid in this class.
Huge. Like
235 pounds, I think he checked in at Alabama.
Yeah.
And a guy that can catch too for a guy at that size. Like, I mean, there's some intrigue there for sure. Like, I didn't love the tape, but there's like some traits there that are actually really desirable from that standpoint.
I'm kind of having to go with the system because, I mean, this is the same thing that said Trevor Etienne was at this spot last year and Caleb Jackson, well, 2 years ago, and then Caleb Jackson last year. Right. Like, it's lining up. So just got to roll with it and see what happens year three.
Yeah, I like it. So I'm actually going to stick with the running backs. I almost grabbed another my guy, but I need to do a little more research on him before I even talk because there's not even that much info out there for him. So I'm going to stick with the running back position. I'm going to take Caden Durham out of LSU. Now, I love Caleb Jackson and you know from last year, but you know it's obviously a small sample. He didn't truly get on you know on the field all that much and do all that much. Although he looked really great when he was on the field. But beyond Caleb Jackson, there's really not too much going on at LSU, and so I'm thinking that maybe both of them can be on the field at some point, you know, not that it truly matters if a running back gets on the field in year one, but I think he can, and you know, and then you got the high end four star prospect, 5'9", 195 pounds, you know, like good size, quality size. We can get to, you know, maybe 210, hopefully, you know, something around there, that ideal NFL size by the time he's all said and done, which is what I'm looking for. But, you know, while he's short, like, he has that bulky frame, you know, he has that like workhorse frame that you want to see for a running back. And he's going to LSU. He's going to a quality program, SEC program. Like, eyes are going to be on him. Maybe it's not going to be quite as many eyes as last year when they were just scoring points all over the place, because Garrett Nussmeier isn't quite the quarterback that Jaden Daniels is. But, you know, I think that he can still get his and you know, have that value. But at the same time, I feel like he can be that workhorse back when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and 195 is really not that bad of a weight for a freshman. Like, that's a promising weight when you come in at that size for a freshman. I mean, like, there's been a lot of studies over the years. We're generally looking at about 14 pounds on average for a Power 5 player to gain weight through their college. A lot of people don't. A lot of people will go even lose weight, whatever. But even if we stick around that range, he gets around 208, 209. Like, that's a pretty good size for a modern-day running back nowadays. And with his agility and explosion, I mean, he can definitely do a lot of different things in that backfield. And maybe a different element than what Caleb Jackson brings.
So we have all of my lights in my house are like connected to Wi-Fi, and my daughter every once in a while decides when she's turning off her lights in her room that she's going to say all of the lights. So every single light in my house just turned off. And this is the fun stuff you get when you're recording live. But there we go. We got lights again. So unfortunately, like I said, I do have a time constraint tonight, so we can't sit here and talk about these prospects all night long. I'm going to go ahead and commit to it now. Hopefully these guys will as well. I would love to have you back on either, you know, soon or maybe after, you know, like after the spring, you know, like when things kind of calm down, transfer portal, all that kind of stuff. Talk about the freshmen again, do all this. We can do another draft and we'll have 2, 3, 7 hours, whatever the hell we want. We don't have to rush through anything, because I really do appreciate both of your analysis and it was a lot of fun. I wish we had more time to sit here and talk about all of them, because I'm loving the whole, you know, freshman game this time of year, you know, being able to talk about, you know, fantasize and all that kind of stuff. But because we only have a couple more minutes, we'll go ahead and dive right in. Andrew, what are you doing? What are you up to? Where can people find you? All that kind of good stuff.
Man, yeah, y'all can find me out on Twitter or X, whatever one people want to call it nowadays, @_DebbieScouts, all one thing. Not putting out too much, but you might notice, like I said, I'm starting to drop a few things out there with some of the freshman stuff. I love building these models, and it's kind of been really eye-opening on some guys to target, especially in C2C stuff. Outside of that, right now, just got to finish out that master's degree, almost done. Knock it out by hopefully May, June, and then I'll be back full-time fantasy along with my current day job, you know, teaching and coaching.
Good luck, man. Corey, you know, where can people find you? What are you working on? You still working on that Devy guide?
We are balls deep right now in that Devy guide, looking at about 250 player profiles, advanced stats. You're going to see ADP metrics, anything you want to see. So we're right up into that. We're also working on the rookie guide. That was kind of a late thing we decided to do. Just kind of a little thing we're putting out there for that. You're getting it free if you're a member at C2C. So we're throwing that together. And then obviously you can catch me on the Back to Devy podcast. That's every Wednesday with my co-host Mike. Drops Wednesday mornings, where we're talking about everything in college football that's happening, spring news, doing player profiles, you know, mocks like this, all the kind of stuff you guys do on your pod. So, I mean, catch me at @FF_guitarist on X as well. I'm Film Grinder. Love to post a lot of clips on there as well. And reach out whenever you want. I mean, and thank you guys again for having me on. Great experience. Love meeting you guys. And this was great.
Absolutely. I love listening to their pod. Him and Mike have a great back and forth. It's a lot of fun. Andy, do you have any words of wisdom before we get out of here?
No, but I just want to thank you guys, especially Christian Bentenker.
That was a nice draw. There you go.
Like, when you said that list of tight ends, I was like, those are the guys ahead of him. I was like, oh shit. So that's, I need to get this guy.
He's actually ahead of the two Iowa kids. So yeah.
All right. He will be on every one of my teams after I heard all that.
Yeah, that's gonna be my preferred late pick. Hey, I did this last a couple years ago with Brock Bowers, where I was taking him late in the draft, but somebody just pointed him out. It wasn't me. I'm not gonna take credit for it, but somebody had pointed him out for some similar reasons, and I just started taking him at the end of drafts. And maybe Betancourt's gonna be that guy for me this year.
I love it. See, we're not just teaching you guys, we're learning as well. we're not just the president, we're also a member. But we really do appreciate you guys listening. And like I said, we're going to have these guys back as soon as possible so that we can do this all over again and maybe not be as time crunched. But we are going to go ahead and cash out. See you guys.